The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
From January this year to the end of August, there were more than 1,000 incidents on the M50. Analysis of the figures revealed that driving on the M50 near Lucan and Liffey Valley between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon is when you're most likely to be involved in a crash. I'm joined now by transport commentator Conor Faulknan and by Labour Councillor for Lucan, Joanna Tuffy. Good morning and welcome. Conor, first of all, interesting reading this stuff in The Independent this morning. I was conscious of last Thursday, I was heading out of town to Galway to go onto the M4 and I took the M50 and it took me an hour to get from my home in Dalkey to the exit on the M50 at 1 hour because of an incident on the off-ramp to the M4. So
yeah,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, very, very common, as today's piece in The Independent shows. And I know it myself, Pat. I mean, I would pass over the M50 in Knocklyon and look from one of the bridges, and you can see the motorway in an angry mood and huge, huge congestion at varying different times of the day, not just traditionally at peak times. It's the busiest motorway in the country, and these crashes listed are occurring at the busiest part of it. It's well over 150,000 vehicles per day on that stretch, Pat. It's the first bit of the M50 that was built, and it was extended. The Westlink Bridge was doubled in capacity, and it's just got busier and busier. The junctions have been upgraded. It's the busiest part of our road network, and it's desperately vulnerable because there are 1,000 incidents. That's what 50 per day or 50 per week. It's an extraordinary number, but they're not all serious, and they don't need to be to really disrupt the motorway. A simple touch of two cars together or something very innocuous can cause a traffic jam that delays you for an hour coming from Dalkey. It's a very vulnerable spot.
Now, tell me about the engineering of this. You say it's one of the earliest parts of the M50 to be completed. I mean, was the design, made for an earlier time when traffic volumes were simply not anticipated? Or was the idea of, merging traffic coming from the city centre through Chapel Izzet and Palmerston and all of that with the traffic on the M50 converging on the M4, was that a mistake to do it that way?
Yes, probably. I mean, originally it was under spec. I think even at the time there was some criticism. When the first stretch of the M50 was built, it almost looked like a white elephant for a while, Pat. It wasn't being used. But it rapidly got busy, and then, it was anticipated it might hit 50,000 vehicles per day. People will remember the signal-controlled roundabouts that used to be there on the N4 interchange and the Red Cow interchange, literally traffic lights on the roundabout. And they were then gradually upgraded with new slip roads and to convert those junctions into cloverleafs. But we're left with a little bit of a design compromise. There are some counterintuitive merges. There's places where on slip roads traffic emerges from the right, and very tricky if you don't know them. And that, I think, probably worsens the number of incidents. But then when you get through those junctions and onto the carriageway itself, it's just a very, very busy stretch, Pat. There are a lot of junctions there. 60% of these crashes occurred between the Red Cow interchange and Finglas. So it's that western stretch of the M50. And as I say, that's nearing 175,000 vehicles per day average with lots and lots of junctions. And it's by far the busiest spot that we have. They have introduced variable speed limits on it. So, you'll see on the overhead gantries, the speed limits can vary in an attempt to manage the traffic, but always vulnerable. If you wanted to really screw up the road network, that's where you'd cause an incident.
Yeah, I remember on Thursday afternoon seeing those variable speed limit signs, which have the temporary speed limit up in white light, contrary to any of the other notices you see. This is white light, and it had a big 60 kilometres per hour instead of 100. And I was thinking, 60. I wish.
Yeah,
I was traveling at nowhere near 60 kilometres per hour. So there is no solution that we can think of at the moment, because often we talk about reforming the health service. And I've said it's like trying to service a 747 in midair. You can't do it. So to take out the M50 or portions of it to kind of redesign the engineering of that junction, it's almost an impossibility. To contemplate removing the M50 from service would be to create downstream and upstream problems, which would be gargantuan.
Absolutely, yeah. So the remedy would be worse than the solution. Plus, there's a limit to how much you can keep building. And the other sort of truism is that when you build road capacity, it fills up. Now, there are locations where the country still, you know, desperately needs to improve the network. Cork to Limerick springs immediately to mind. But ultimately, the solution to this, you know, isn't a road solution, Pat. I mean, if you look at all those vehicles on the M50, a lot of it is commercial traffic, which is fair enough, but a lot of the traffic doesn't want to be there. You know, there are people who, you know, live in Tala and, you know, work on the north side. They would love to be getting a metro to work. They never look at the M50, but there isn't one, so they're in the car on the motorway. So actually, it's an integrated solution, as the transport thing often is. We have to provide alternatives for large volumes of people so they don't need to take to the road. And then on the roads themselves, we, you know, we still have some engineering challenges and we still have more roads to build. But I'd suggest the bigger transport priority for us now as a country is probably not the road network, it's public transport.
Yeah. One of the texters says lane hopping is the biggest cause of near misses. I see it every day. And I did a little exercise because I was idling on the M50 and I was watching a truck on the inside of me. I was in the outer lane crawling along. And I didn't do any lane hopping, but I saw an awful lot of people. Whenever a space opened up, they hopped in, they hopped out. And when I finally reached at the turnoff, I was pretty much in the same relationship with the truck on my inside as I had been all the way along. You know, so it doesn't really make that much difference.
Yeah,
lane hopping doesn't help.
You're not gaining anything. And every time you do it, it's a dangerous maneuver. You try to avoid changing lanes if you possibly can. And I'll tell you something else. There's people who, there are regulars on the M50, if you like, who are, you know, sort of always there at the same time every morning. And people will tell you that my wife regularly uses the M50. And you'll see a car and say, oh, I know him. I've seen him in other mornings. He's a late wait. Oh, yeah, there he goes. So, yeah, you know, human behavior will certainly make more incidents happen and worsen the outcomes when they do. So, as we often say in matters road safety, really, it's the Mark One human being driving the car is the most important component. And if people can stay, you know, calm and stick to lane discipline and use the motorway properly, you know, when it's being used properly, it's very efficient. Mm-hmm. It's great for distributing the traffic. But as I say, given that it's so busy and given that it's such a crucial node, it's always going to be vulnerable. The slightest incident will have a big effect.
Well, in 20 years' time, if we don't have public transport, we will have autonomous vehicles which won't allow lane hopping or speeding or any of
very
that.
Likely,
it'll just
yeah.
be like being on tracks. Connor, thank you very much for that. Labour councillor for Luke and Joanna Tuffy is on the line. Joanna, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You are familiar with this junction, I have no doubt.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
to be done about it?
Well, I suppose, first of all, just to say my sympathies with anyone who's been affected by accidents, you know, the more serious accidents at that location. Yeah, I mean, it's a road, like I have to say, I use it very frequently because it's a very convenient, the M50 is very convenient to get quickly from, you know, Lucan to, whether it's to Tala or over to Blanchardstown or to the airport or so on. So, you know, personally, I would use it a lot and I'm aware it's a very, very busy road, very busy junctions that I've mentioned there. Junction 7, you know, is a very busy junction coming onto the M4 from either direction. And I suppose just in terms of what you're talking about there, it's a spaghetti junction. And like I remember when it was being built, you know, it was very much being built to take extra capacity. But of course, it's a much more complicated junction than what was originally there. And that makes it a lot more dangerous. So I suppose, like what I would, I suppose, do, like, I suppose it's important to point out that the council does not have direct remit over the M50. You know, it's very much the responsibility of Transport Infrastructure Ireland. But we as a council can raise the issues with Transport Infrastructure Ireland. So that's what I would intend
to do. But basically, you're telling me that it's a waste of my time talking to you, really. There's nothing you can do.
Well, no, because I think it's important, you know, councillors, while we don't have direct powers, we can raise the issues through the council, you know, the council engineers, and they do liaise with transport infrastructure because of the fact that there's an overlap in responsibilities. So I suppose what I would want to do is get, obviously, the information and bring it to the attention of the engineers in South Dublin County Council, you know, to make sure that they talk to transport infrastructure to see what can be done. Very often, if transport infrastructure needs work done, often it might be the council that would actually carry out any work. You know, and I suppose I noticed as well that that a lot of the accidents seem to be rear-ended accidents. You know, so I'm sure apart from major infrastructural work, there's probably other measures that can be taken to try and make it safer, you know. And I suppose just to mention as well, for a long, for years and years and years, the government is supposed to do something about, you know, reforming the whole M50 in terms of that there shouldn't just be one toll at it. You know, it's supposed to be tolled along the way, and probably if that issue was looked at.
So you want then to force people into the housing estates all around the place instead?
Well, it's to make, because I think one thing is that there are a lot of traffic actually comes into Lucan and into Lucan Village because people are trying to avoid the tolls. That's another issue.
So you want more tolls, and yet people are going through Lucan to avoid the tolls. Doesn't make sense.
It would be to actually reduce the amount of tolls and to have a kind of more balanced tolling along the way. But I suppose as part of that, then the issues around safety of the M50 could also be addressed, you know.
All right, Joanna, thank you very much for joining us. That's Labour Councillor for Lucan, Joanna Tuffy.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.